test. He probably was the first to finish Greek and the Greek tests and Hebrew and all of that. And I just thought, boy, what a challenge, right? Because how would you discipline the Son of God, right, if he got out of hand? There was a singer by the name of Rich Mullins. Some of you may know him. He wrote a song called, I think it's called Child Like Me, Boy Like Him. And it was he got the idea with, you know, thinking of Jesus as a child, as a teenager. You know, did he ever play baseball with his buddies out on the street? Did he ever have a crush on the girl, the little girl next door? Did he accidentally break a window? Of course, they didn't have windows in those days. But if he did, would he have, you know, accidentally broke the window playing baseball? You know, things like that. Would he go out and have fun with his friends? So it must have been difficult for them to be the parents of the Son of God. So this morning, we're going to kind of take a journey. We're going to use our imaginations, and we're going to take some time maybe walking in their shoes, imagining just for a moment that you were called by God to do something extraordinary, to do something that everyone thought was pretty crazy. God chose you to do this very thing, this important thing that only you could do. Now, certainly God could have chosen anybody to be the father and son of his child, but he chose Mary and Joseph. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to have you open them to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to begin with the 18th verse, and we're just going to read 18 through 25, and this is talking about the birth of Jesus. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. No pressure there, right? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, you may think that you are under a lot of stress right now. You may think that there's a lot of things going on in your life right now that's really causing you to go in a lot of different directions, and you're kind of wondering, you know, are these challenges ever going to end? Can you imagine what Mary and Joseph were thinking, right? Can you imagine the stress that they were feeling? So, today we're going to answer some questions that will maybe help us to understand where they're coming from and how they responded to this opportunity to serve God. Now, we don't know a lot about Joseph. Matter of fact, Joseph is one of those characters in the Bible that shows up in the beginning after around when Jesus is around 12 years old. We don't really hear anything about Joseph after that. But we do know in verse 16 that his father's name was Jacob. We know that he was a carpenter, just like I believe his father. We know that in the first 17 verses of Matthew in chapter 1, it traces Jesus' genealogy. It shows Joseph to clearly be of the family line of David. But perhaps the most important thing that we learn about Joseph is 19, which is he was a righteous man. Well, what about Mary? Well, certainly Mary is probably one of the most well-known women in the Bible, but we still don't know a lot about her. We know that she was a young daughter from a Jewish family, probably a poor family. She was certainly had ties to the ancestry of David. Most would agree that she was probably around the age of 15 at the time. She was betrothed to be married to Joseph, which was kind of an arranged marriage. We certainly know that Mary was fully submissive and full of faith concerning God's and God's will. And when the angel told her what was going to happen to her, she replied, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Again, I mean, how many of us, if God said, "This is you're going to be doing this," how many of us would respond in the same way? So God chose these two individuals that were full of righteousness and love for God. He chose them to be the parents to the child who would truly bring God's love to all people. Now, let's consider three things this morning about the original Christmas couple, Joseph and Mary. In your sermon notes, you can go along with me. Number one, the test of their faith. We are constantly being tested by our faith. We live in a broken world, and so not everything is going to go the way we want it to go. We're not always going to agree with each other. We're not always going to appreciate each other. So our life is filled with tests of our faith. In Matthew 1:18, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit." Again, suppose God gave you this same message, right? Suppose he looked at you and said, "You're going to be the father or the mother of my child who's going to come into the world and change the world." It was inconceivable. It was unbelievable. It was unexplainable. Basically, it was a miracle that this took place. And what if I shared with you that tomorrow, or God told me, tomorrow I am going to be able to have the ability to fly, to soar over the sky without any kind of apparatus or anything, just my body, that God told me tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be able to fly. Now, I'm sure that probably some of you are going to laugh in my face. There's probably some of you are going to say, "Well, you know, he's a nice guy, but I do see some psychiatric care that might be coming his way pretty soon." Now imagine Mary and Joseph. Putting it into perspective here, Mary and Joseph were about to have to let God involve them in what would seem to be, for the people around them, nothing less than crazy. The thought that Mary would be with child without ever having been with a man, and to most, the very mention of it would be considered ludicrous. Probably the people sneered at her and said, "That's impossible." And yet, what does the Bible say about God? In God, all things are possible. I think sometimes we forget that when we look at the trials and the tribulations that we go through in life. Sometimes we pray that God will deliver us from those tribulations. Sometimes we ask God to fix it or to change it or to make it better or whatever the case may be. But sometimes we don't really pray with honestly believing it's going to happen. We prayed the prayers before and it hasn't happened. But the Bible says, in God, all things are possible. If you believe in God, if you believe that He can do what He says He can do, it will happen. It may not be quite what you expected it to be, but it will happen. So, what would Joseph and Mary believe? Would they believe their friends, their parents, or would they believe God? Where were they going to put their faith? God chose Joseph and Mary because He saw the faith that they had. He saw their character. He saw how much they loved Him and were willing to do anything for Him. And God was about to do in their life what he was about to do in their life was going to help their faith to grow even larger. Just because Mary and Joseph would become the parents of the Christ child, it did not promise them that it was going to be an easy road. And matter of fact, the whole journey was a test of faith. God did not create any miracle to exempt them from making that required journey to Bethlehem. He didn't provide for them a 5-star accommodations when it was time for the baby to be born. He didn't exempt them from some very severe tests in their faith. And yet, Joseph and Mary trusted God, because they knew that whatever his plan was, whatever it was that was on his agenda for them, they could trust it to the very end. Now, all of us here today, I can assume that we've all said yes to Jesus. We've surrendered our lives to him, that we've chosen to live for God each day. But even in that, it doesn't promise. There's no promise that everything is going to run smoothly, that every day is going to be the perfect day. Because, as I said, we live in a fallen world. We too will see tests of our faith every single day. Our faith at times is going to be tested more than ever before. As a pastor, I feel like I'm being tested constantly. And I'm sure you probably feel the same way, that God is testing you when putting you in situations that can sometimes be very uncomfortable, and sometimes can be very, you feel like you're all alone, or you feel like you're getting beaten up, or you feel like, you know, life's not fair. You know, talking with my son about some situations at his school, you know, one of the things that I go back to in the scripture that says, you know, when we speak, there should be no unhealthy thing, no ungodly thing, no, that should be coming out of our mouths, but only what is to build up, to encourage, to inspire. So how do we show our faith in God? How do we handle those tests of faith in our lives? So we will be tested. We will. But it's for those of us who are able to grow from the testing, as Mary and Joseph did, that we can become stronger. Number two, they trusted in their father. Joseph and Mary were faced with some magnificent and yet some very mysterious news in what God was going to do through them. In verse 21, it says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, can you imagine Joseph and Mary introducing their children and saying, "This is Jesus, he's our son, but he's also the Son of God." And I'm sure all the mothers and fathers that were gathered around Joseph and Mary probably responded by saying, "Oh, really? Isn't that nice?" Now, think about Joseph and Mary as parents. They were to raise a son who is to be the Savior of the world. A son not conceived by man, but brought about through the power of God. They were convinced of God's plan. And I'm certain that there are many people in their lives who are offering them advice on how to parent. Plenty of advice. They could have probably taken it, maybe some of the stuff they did. But they needed to also understand that they had to put their trust in God and how they were going to raise this child. We need to know the way of something. When we do, what do we do? What do we do? Where do we go? Do we go to our parents, our spouses? Do we go to our best friends, our pastor? Who do we go when we have questions? The only person we can go to is our Father in heaven. What was true in Joseph and Mary's day is still true today. When no one else has answers for us, when no one else seems to understand, when no one else seems to care, we can put our trust in our Father. I can almost imagine Joseph and Mary having a conversation, saying to one to another, yes, we know that is all true, but how do we explain it to others? How will others react to us? How will they react to our son, the Son of God? And Joseph and Mary could not look at science for their security. They couldn't look at society to see how other people were raising their kids. They had to rely on God. They had to rely on the supreme maker of heaven and earth. They could look to him and find peace and understanding because they trusted. And we need to understand that this in life, and all of us are going to face moments when, you know, no one's going to understand us, when no one's going to show us sympathy, when no one's going to give us the answers we're looking for. The encouragement can sometimes be absent. But we can still find our hope and our comfort in our Heavenly Father. We can still trust in His love for us. I don't think there ever was a day that would go by that Joseph and Mary couldn't look to their father and say, I need help. I need to understand. And their Father in heaven always gave them what they needed, whether it was an emotional support, physical support, or spiritual support. There is never a day that goes by for you and I that we are not faced with the difficulties of life. But even in that, we must trust in the Father, because our Father never fails us. Whatever it is that's weighing you down this holiday season, whatever it is that's wearing on your mind today, whatever it is that's wearing on your emotions today, turn to your Heavenly Father. It's the only way that you will find true answers. Through this test of faith, we can say, I choose to trust my Heavenly Father. Joseph and Mary, as the original Christmas couple, saw the tests in their faith, and they also clung to their trust in the Father, which brings them to the third one, their triumph over the future. You see, what Joseph and Mary knew about the words of the prophets, now they were seeing it with their eyes. They were feeling it with their heart as they held this newborn baby. Now, in this moment, they saw the face of love. They saw what it meant, what their purpose was, what their lives were all about. Joseph and Mary, they came to realize that what each of us should realize, that most of us need to understand, that if we have Jesus, I mean truly have Jesus in our heart, then we really, ultimately, have no problems. What we have is glorious, marvelous solutions. A Savior whose name is Jesus, our only ultimate problem in life for us is where we are going to spend eternity. Now I know that there are many of you here today that are living a life of strife here on earth, whether it's medical issues or debt or day-to-day disappointments. They all do come at us. But if we truly understand this idea that our time here on earth is so minimal compared to our time in heaven, those problems are just trivial. They don't really, it's a waste of time to worry about it. It's a waste of time to even be scared of it. When we have tough times in our lives, yeah, they're going to happen. But the day is going to come when those tough times will no longer be, and we will be forever with God. There were some days that were tough as nails for Joseph and Mary. Difficult. Far more difficult than you and I can even imagine, I'm sure. Having to hide out in a foreign country, having to worry about their son. One of the more comical parts of being the parents was that, remember the story of them going into the temple and then they left, and how I still don't understand how they forgot their son, because I would think that he was probably right with them the whole time, but somehow he stayed, they left, and a couple days down the road they realize their son isn't with them. So they have to go back to the temple, right? They have to go back to the temple and find him. And where is Jesus? He's in the temple and he's preaching to the men in the temple. And when his mother says, what are you doing to us? As parents, you've probably been down that road, right? Lost your child in the mall. And they're going, are you going to treat me like this? I'm your mother. And Jesus says, hey man, I got to be about my father's business, man. This is where I need to be. And I think it was at that moment that they realized this child is much more than just our child. When I look at Nicholas, when I look at Marley and Caitlin, and I look at little Fisher, and I look at Dylan, and I look at the kids and all the kids in this church, I think they're special. They're unique. And there's a purpose for their life that's going to blow all of us away. All of us. This last week, I've been listening. I hear someone on the piano. I come down. It's Dylan. He's down here practicing the piano. He's going to be our pianist one of these days, right? Because our future is bright. Our future is bright. As a church, our future is bright. As people of God, our future is bright. Why? Because we're tested, but in our testing, we find our trust in God. Because we know that whatever we go through in life, God is going to bring us through it. Whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever problems that may be about us, God has a plan and a purpose for everything. It's amazing when you look back on some of the issues that maybe this church has had or maybe you've had in your families, and you look back on it and you think, wow, I could have never imagined that we'd be sitting here today and we'd be experiencing this wonderful day with a brand new Christmas tree, decorations, family, friends. That is powerful. That speaks of the love of God and our love for God. So the only thing we need to do now is ask the question, what is your response? What are you going to do? If God is tapping you on the shoulder today and he says, I have a plan for you, I have a purpose for you, I have a job for you, and only you can do it because I created you for a purpose, for a reason. You being here is not an accident. You being alive, you living in Astoria, you being a part of your family is not an accident. There's a reason and a purpose. And when God is tapping you on the shoulder, what is your response? What are you willing to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for each one of us here. I pray that we can begin to understand our purpose and our meaning. And that, like Joseph, like Mary, we can say, yes, Lord, Whatever it is, I will do it. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I am your servant. I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. May I be able to experience the purpose you have for my life. May I experience the reason for my being. And in the process, I'm going to be molded and shaped. I'm going to be tested. But in the end, you will create all good. That you will turn the bad into good. You will turn the discouragement into encouragement and joy. And I pray today for each one here that as we begin this holiday season, that we can begin to know of your love for us and that we can show that love for others. And I pray this in your name. Amen. We will be taking...